comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. You know, this is the show where you matter. If you haven't subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, please do. It's free, and there's no reason you should be in the dark. There's no reason to remain a mushroom when there is a way out. It's free. No strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you desire to do so. Also, if you're not a member, if you haven't joined as a member, you're missing out on a lot of stuff. You're missing out on, well, you're not seeing the show right now if you're not a member. You can't watch the latest show if you're not a member. So you miss the live show. You can still watch it because we capture the live show and then upload it, just like we capture the audio and upload that. And, you know, when a guest has photographs to share with us, or if we're talking about some anomalies on some planet or something like that, we show those on our TV channel. But you don't get to see those if you're not a member. You don't get into the archives if you're not a member. And what does it cost? Well, 23 cents a day. $6.95 a month. You can't beat it. Take 23 cents to the store, put it on the counter, and say, what can I get for this? And probably all you can get is directions to the door to the exit for 23 cents. So, you know, it's a great value. 23 cents a day. It's really worth it. If you're not a member, well, you're missing out on way bunch. Speaking of way bunch, the film director and actor by the name of Kevin Smith, according to the news reports, Southwest Airlines, a pilot decided there was way bunch too much of Kevin Smith and asked him to leave an airplane. And he didn't get to fly. They said he was too fat to fly. And so it stirred up a big controversy. And there are people who, you know, they do a Google search, I guess, for Kevin Smith. Well, you do that, you're going to find KevinSmithShow.com and some other stuff. And so I've been getting email from people who, you know, I'm sure that's what they did. They just did a search for Kevin Smith. And they came up with KevinSmithShow.com, and they've been sending me email. One of them told me maybe now I'll learn a lesson and stop feeding my face so much and lose some weight. It's better for my health anyway, and quit complaining since I was the one that, well, he says, since you're the one that fed your face, you're the one that made you fat. And so I got that email. And I've gotten some that were very sympathetic with him. And I've been laughing at these because they're sending them to me, and I send them back an email that says, I'm rolling on the floor laughing here, but I hope you realize I'm not the Kevin Smith you think. I am the talk show host, and you know, I'm not the one that you really intended this for. I hope we picked up some new listeners as a result of that. We'll be back right after this, and we've got new listeners all over the world tonight, and we've got something really interesting to talk about. We'll be back. Tonight, we have a controversial show. We had a controversial show last night. I hope to God we have a controversial show every night. And if you watch my vlog, I explained why, but let me put it in a thumbnail sketch right here. All newly discovered truth. First of all, I don't think there's any such thing as new truth. If it's true, it always has been, and it always will be. If it is true, if it's actually truth, okay? It may be a transient condition, and then it passes away. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, real truth. It always has been, always will be. And it stands on its own two feet. So all newly discovered truth has been standing out there long before we discovered it. For instance, how long did humankind exist before we discovered that light has a speed and before we measured what is the speed of light? But it always did have that speed, and we just discovered it. In the 1920s, Edwin Hubble discovered there's a universe. It's not just one big glob with all those lights you see in the sky. It's not just one big glob. There are galaxies separated by tens of millions of light years, hundreds of millions of light years, I guess. And we see those entire galaxies as one little dot of light. But nobody knew that until the 1920s. But it always was that way. So newly discovered truth is always controversial. Always. Always controversial. Not all controversies are truth. But all newly discovered truth is controversial for a while. Now, what we're trying to discover, what we're trying to do with the show, and always have been trying to do, is to discover more of the truth. We don't proclaim the truth. I don't declare this is true, that's true, this is not true, that's not. I don't define truth for the listeners. And Lord knows our listening audience are not monolithic. Well, there are all kinds of perspectives and views and opinions about all the things we talk about. Now, I'm going to share something with you, and I want you to understand up front why I'm sharing this with you. I'm going to share this with you because of what we're going to talk about here tonight. You've heard me say, if you've listened to this show very often, you've heard me talk about how important it is to listen with your mind and not your emotions, right? And every time I say that, I get all kinds of emails from people telling me that I'm wrong, that emotions are so important. And see, there you go. I didn't say emotions weren't important. But I said, listen with your mind, not your emotions. Now, last night's show, boy, that was a heavy hitter show. Controversial, I told you it would be. And very controversial. But I would say, I've gotten hundreds of emails since then. I would say 99% have been enthusiastically positive about the show. But I've gotten a few that weren't. Now, I'm going to share with you an email as an example. Before I do this, I want you to understand I am in no way scolding this person. And I'm not going to use his name. I'm in no way scolding him, and in no way am I upset or frustrated. But this is a great example of how not to listen to the Kevin Smith Show. And tonight, it's very important that you listen with your mind and not your emotions. Greetings, Kevin. Regarding the guest from yesterday, though I think it applies to the majority of speakers I hear on every internet show, regarding those who claim to be specially informed on the issue of aliens and UFOs. Okay, I got to pause. This is not an internet show. It's a radio show. Now, we are heard on the internet by hundreds of thousands of people. In just one city last night, in Los Angeles last night, we had over 645,000 listeners in just Los Angeles. Now, I know that because the station owner told me that today. We had over 645,000 just in Los Angeles on an internet radio station. However, this show is also, it's a syndicated show, and we're on AM, FM, shortwave, cell phones. Are we a cell phone show? Just because we're on cell phones? No. TiVo, are we a TiVo show just because you can get us on TiVo? Mm-mm. It's a radio show. So the instant I saw this, I saw that all of right up front, we have something here that is going to be off the rails because there's a total disunderstanding, not misunderstanding. This is a disunderstanding of what this show is anyway. Okay, it says, it always amuses me that people don't notice how these, quote, aliens from other planets, end quote, who are supposedly from various worlds, up to 70, according to some sources, and who manage to transport them here in large numbers across vast distances, always, listen to this, always seem to have, quote, attacking Christianity, end quote, as their prime directive. Well, to this listener, I would have to say, did you even listen to this show last night? Absolutely nobody attacked Christianity. Now, there may have been something said that doesn't agree with your flavor of Christianity, but that's not an attack on Christianity. And then he quotes some scriptures to me, and it's interesting because in this scripture, it warns against, it says a day is going, well, I'll just read it to you. This is from the Bible. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and teaching. For the time, listen to this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, you ready? But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears from the away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Well, I don't have any problem with that. But what he's warning against is a time when people who, because of their own desires, and that same word is emotion in the Greek, because of their own emotions, will heap to themselves teachers to tell them what they want to hear. Well, we obviously told this listener last night something he didn't want to hear, and so he's reacting because he heard something he didn't want to hear. Okay? And what he's saying is it shows that he has a desire to heap to himself teachers who will tell him what he wants to hear, but uses a scripture that cautions against it. Pretty interesting. And then the PS on this. The outer space heaven ship has been done before. It was supposed to be some massive computer located on the dark side of the moon. I guess they moved it, or maybe the one near Saturn is a backup. To the writer, again, did you even listen to the show? Because no one, absolutely no one, said that those spaceships that we were talking about are heaven ships. Nobody. We did have someone in the audience that called in and asked the question and said, you know, are they like heaven? Is that what those ships are? And our guest did not say, yeah, it's heaven. He did not say that. So I use this as an example. This is someone who listens with emotion, responds with And I want to be gentle about this because I like this guy. But this is a response where you have ego wrapped up in theology and masquerading itself as faith. And there's all kinds of things said in here that absolutely did not happen in the show. Now, I use it as an example because there are two things that have happened in history of in the history of broadcasting that I desperately want to avoid. I believe it was 1936. We'll say it was 1936. Orson Welles did a radio show that was fiction. It was called The War of the Worlds. It was fiction. It was science fiction. All the way through the radio show, they kept saying, this is not a real news broadcast. This is a dramatization. All the way through the show, they kept telling people this, and people still freaked out. Now, I have to tell you, that some of you get upset when I say this, but I have to tell you, that's because the majority of the people in virtually every country are mushrooms. They're mental mushrooms. They sit in the dark, unenlightened, uninformed, don't know how to think. All they can do is kind of emote towards things. And they sit in the dark and eat a steady diet of manure that's fed to them by lamestream media. I want to avoid that. Another thing that happened, and you'll remember this, in my opinion, the absolute king of the genre that this show is in, the absolute undisputed emperor, is Art Bell. Art Bell did some shows about a comet that was coming in, and they were asking questions about weird anomalous readings that were popping up coming from this comet. He never, ever, ever said it is a mothership. But the questions were asked because of the anomalous readings that they were getting. The questions were asked, could it be? I mean, what could account for these readings? And that's the way, I know, I listened to it live. I know what was said. And then some really kooky people called Heaven's Gate killed themselves. And they killed themselves because their leader said that the comet was coming, that comet that was coming was actually a spaceship that was coming to pick them up, and it was time for them to ascend. So they all committed suicide, or a bunch of them did. And the media and a bunch of mushrooms jumped all over Art Bell and tried to say that it was Art Bell's fault. I've never seen such absolute stupidity awash knee-deep in the streets of America as I saw at that time. And I've seen stupidity awash knee-deep in America from time to time. I love my country, but I won't lie about it. If you've lived in this country for very long, you've seen it too. Emotion takes over. Now, we're going to be talking about something tonight. And we're not going to be saying this is a fact, okay? Walter Bosley, when he was on the show with me previously, a few weeks ago, talked about a prediction. He and I both talked about it, a prediction that somebody had sent to him. And this prediction is from someone that has previously been very accurate. And it's a prediction not based on Ouija boards and that kind of stuff. I'll let Walter explain what he can about that, how it comes about. But this is somebody that you kind of have to take seriously. He doesn't want to be out front with his name on this. And he doesn't want to. Because the guy that made the prediction, he doesn't want to because he doesn't want people to look at him in that light as a predictor, because there's something else he does that he thinks is far more important. And yet, he's been very accurate in the past. Walter said he would come back and he would talk with us and he would update us and give us more of the details about this prediction as the date arrived. That's not correct. As we got near the date. Well, we're getting fairly near the date. And so he's with us tonight. And Walter, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me here, Kevin. It's always good to be here, although tonight's kind of a checkered purpose.
Well, you know, Walter, all we can do here is share information, and I think it's important for people to understand you're not saying this is going to happen, and I am not saying this is going to happen. What we are saying is this is what we have been informed is going to happen. We don't know how accurate it is.
Right.
But we will know in a few days.
Yes.
Yeah. Walter, we've got about a minute and a half here before we go to break. Give us a real quick rundown of how this prediction, how did you get it?
Well, I want to say that the source himself is convinced that it's going to happen, of course.
And yes.
That's as of yesterday, in the last 24 hours. Basically, what we're talking about here is, rather, I don't like to use the P word, not a prediction. I like to use calculated estimation because though the initial spark that had him look at this more closely was somewhat of an intuitive type experience, what he followed it up with was a little bit of, I'm going to say scientific, I mean that in the layman's sense, where, you know, he put some pen to the paper and did some, you know, factoring with all the data available, and he calculated what he is convinced is the date and location of this particular event we're going to discuss tonight.
Okay, now how did he communicate that to you? Did he do it by telephone or in writing, or how did he get the information to you?
By telephone. He told me personally. We have gone through the details of it.
Okay, Walter, we have to step away for break. We'll come back and complete the details when we come back. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back. With me this evening, Walter Bosley. Walter, as we went away for break, you were saying that he communicated this to you on the telephone. And then, now you said it's not a prediction, it's a what calculated? Hang on a second, Walter. Pilot trouble here in the cockpit. I didn't push the right button. He called it a calculated what?
Estimation.
So he gives you this calculated estimation on the telephone, and then he gave you the details also on the telephone?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to say that what you have taken some measures to make sure that if this happens or if it doesn't happen, we can verify what was said, what the prediction was, and describe for folks how you've done this.
Basically, I wrote down the pertinent information about this estimation, and I mailed it to several people. And they have received their copies and will keep them sealed. And, of course, each envelope is postmarked. This was done in early, mid-January, because we've known about this for over a month.
I have mine in my hand. This is postmarked from San Bernardino, California. It is postmarked on 15 January 2010 at 4 something p.m. It's I can see p.m. 4 and then a zero, and then the rest of it is not there. So the stamp didn't print it. But sometime around 4 o'clock p.m. on January the 15th. Now, this is sealed. It has not been opened and will not be opened until after the date comes and goes. And I'm not the only one. You sent this to several other people as well, right?
Yes, that's right. And everybody will keep theirs sealed. Even if this does happen, well, obviously, we've talked about it here, and a lot of people are going to know, but we're going to keep our copies sealed for when, you know, the right moment comes to show to maybe a larger or appropriate audience or viewer or listener that, yes, indeed, you know, here it is sealed still, and, you know, we can prove it. So,
okay. I want to say again before we get into this information, folks, that absolutely nobody here at this show is actually predicting anything. And we're not saying that this is actually going to happen. We are saying that someone who has been very accurate with these calculated estimations previously has passed this information to Walter and through Walter to me. And we think it's important enough that people at least need to hear about it. They need to know about it. But please do not go screaming into the nighttime, the sky is falling. In fact, Walter, you and I have had some long conversations about how to handle this so that we don't create a panic, right?
Exactly. Exactly. We have, and we're not taking sharing this information lightly. As I said, we've known about this. I've known about it for well over a month, and it has taken that long to come to the determination that we're close enough that we should share this information in the way we're going to share it. And that's in the spirit of how many times did you hear people say, you know, hey, there's a bunch of people got intuitive feelings about like something like 9/11, you know, and people will argue, well, why didn't somebody say something? You know, if you suspected or felt or thought it was going to happen, why didn't you say something? And not just 9/11, but other things. And in the spirit of that, it's like, well, you know, why not say something? If a few people take the advice we're going to give and this thing happens and they end up avoiding disaster, you know, what's wrong with that? So it's really in the spirit of, you know, rather than hold on to this, which I think would be very selfish, should it happen, you know, I and the person who made the calculation, you know, agree that, well, it should get out in some form.
Okay, with all of that having been said, mm-hmm. Let's hear what is this information.
Okay. According to the source, his calculated estimation, he is convinced that 1 week from today, the 23rd of February, a Northern California city is going to be hit with a massive, devastating earthquake, worse than Haiti. Now, I will say that to me, I give it 24 hours on either side of that, and I call that a direct hit. If this happens on the 22nd or the 24th, I say bingo. But though it's not a game, but the source is convinced that this is going to happen 1 week from this date, next Tuesday.
Now, this source doesn't use Ouija boards. He doesn't. This isn't something where he has channeled information from the Galactic Federation. He's doing some calculations, right?
Yeah, you know, I've talked a lot about you. You've had a guy on your show, our friend Mr. Hari, who does stuff with geomorphology and the terrain of the Earth.
Yeah.
Things like that. This source uses that kind of information, plus, you know, his the way he calculates it to come to these conclusions. So,
and he has been accurate with these calculations before, has he not?
Yes, he has. As a matter of fact, I shared one with you around New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and if you recall, it had to do with a right down to the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was accurate with that. So did
he give you a time of day when we could expect this earthquake?
No, he was. Let me tell you, he was very reluctant to even want me to come on and do this initially. Very, very reluctant. He even said, you know, I don't want to share too much because I just feel like I've already let a genie out of the bottle or, you know, cat out of the bag, whatever. And I told him, hey, you know, our advice that we're going to give to the listeners is pretty common sense. And kind of, you know, hedging your bet a little bit without panicking, because I'm like you. I don't want to be responsible financially for some moron out there who, you know, would come after us because of the stupid act of, you know, somebody who just mislistened to what they're hearing. You know, but I still am willing to. You know, I said, look, I'm coming out there. I'll bring it to Kevin. I'll talk about it publicly. My name will be attached to it. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, we'll come on and all laugh about it, okay? And I'll be the first to laugh at myself for even, you know, thinking, you know, was this something to be concerned about? But
well, the thing is, at least my position is, I don't know. You know, I am like everyone listening to this show. I'm hearing this. And I'm having to say, okay, well, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. But based on the fact that your source, and I happen to know who the source is, based on the fact that your source has been very accurate with this system of calculation previously, I think that we at least have the obligation to let people know that what he's saying now. Now, does he, when he says a massive earthquake, what does he describe? What kind of destruction is he saying is going to happen?
Just what that implies. We're talking about a city or a major portion of a city, you know, toppled, leveled. I don't want to. The one thing I agreed with him and you and I discussed that we wouldn't do was specifically name the city. So I know the details of the destruction he's talking about. I know what the water level will do to this city. I know what section of this city, and I understand, you know, how physically it would happen, you know, if it does. But we're talking. He's convinced it's worse than Haiti potentially.
Well, that's, you know, that is kind of disturbing and frightening information. The people in California are used to earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've talked to me on the telephone and told me, yeah, we had an earthquake here yesterday, you know. And you're kind of matter of fact about it. I mean, you guys out there seem like, oh, yeah, well, the earth's moving. For the rest of us that don't live in earthquake zones, that would kind of be a little frightening for us. By the way, there was an earthquake this morning in Bulgaria. And it was a 3.2. They said it was strong enough that some people felt it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never, as far as I know, I haven't been in an earthquake. If there was an earthquake, it was slight enough that I didn't feel it. But earthquakes are happening all over the place. Now, you and I talked about this a little bit. First of all, Yellowstone has gone active. There have been, just in January, Walter, there were 1,771 earthquakes.
Yes.
In Yellowstone.
Yes.
That's about one-third of what they have for the entire year on a normal year, right?
Correct. And this happened in a period of 30 days.
So it's really active. And then we're having these, you know, we had these earthquakes, several earthquakes. Now, some of them, they said, well, it's an aftershock. And people that don't understand, they think an aftershock is something different from an earthquake. It's not. It's an earthquake. It just happens after that initial one. But they had several strong earthquakes after that initial one in Haiti. There have been earthquakes all around that ring of fire, all around the Pacific Ring, and including several in Alaska, several in Northern California, some in Southern California. But there's been some other stuff that we've talked about, Walter, that's pretty interesting. And when we come back from break, I want to talk about, we've talked about the sea lions. I want to get an update on them. And I also want to get an update on something else that has happened out in the water that is fairly phenomenal and off the coast of California. So we'll do that when we come back. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Walter Bosley, and I guess you folks probably can sense that there is somewhat of a somber mood about what we're saying, because this isn't happy news, and I don't know, it's not even news. We don't know if this is accurate, but because of past accuracy of this source, we felt, both of us felt, that it was important that we at least let you in on it, and so that if you want to make some kind of preparations, if you live in Northern California, then you can make some preparations. Maybe that's a good day. Maybe in the afternoon on February the 22nd, you get off work or whatever, you know, and you load the car up, load the family up, and head east for 2 or 3 hours and go camping or something, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody should do that. I'm just saying if, as long as you know what we've been told, you may decide that may be what you want to do. Walter, there have been some anomalies taking place out in California. Couple of anomalies fairly recently, a week or two ago, all of a sudden it's all over the news that giant squid are in the waters off the coast in great numbers. And, you know, only a few years ago, that was a myth. A giant squid was a myth. It was a fantasy. And then some scientists finally videotaped one underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And now these myths, these fantasies, are all of a sudden in great numbers in the waters off the coast. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, what's interesting about that is these giant squid are specifically known to inhabit the waters in Baja, and off of Baja, California. And boy, just about every week there have been earthquakes down there in those waters, and very similarly to the sea lions vacating San Francisco, these squid that nobody ever sees are now in droves being seen heading north. They were seen off of the various Orange County, California beaches, coastline areas, by the hundreds, and they were heading north.
Okay, now for our listeners who are not familiar with California, give them the name of a city in Orange County.
Oh, Anaheim, where Disneyland is, Newport Beach, Dana Point, Huntington Beach, you know, these are Laguna, these are various Orange County.
And well-known
as
well.
South of Los Angeles, yeah.
Okay, so off the waters, off in the water, off of the shore from Orange County, these giant squid are showing up.
And they showed up like about 24 hours after, excuse me. They were seen in droves. I think there was a herd of 400, three or 400 of these things that were seen about somewhere between 24 and 48 hours before the first of a series of notable earthquakes in Baja hit in January. Before. In other words, the squid, which you normally don't see, were vacating in the hundreds, and then an earthquake hit. Like the seals, this would suggest that they knew what was coming.
The sea lions, not the seals.
The sea lions, yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, we did a whole show calling them seals, and we were wrong. It's not seals, it's sea lions. It's a different animal.
Much bigger.
Much bigger. Okay, so the sea lions vacated. Have they come back?
No, they have not. I just checked yesterday, and as of yesterday, they have not reappeared in the San Francisco Bay. They are still, as far as we know, up in Florence, Oregon, which is as far away from the ley lines we discuss as they can get on the West Coast.
Okay, so they migrated north. Now the squid from Baja, California, are migrating north as well. Are they continuing to migrate north, or are they pretty much pooled around Orange County?
Well, that's where they were last spotted that I could find. There, I'm sure by now, because that was last month, that was a couple of weeks back, a few weeks back now, I'm sure they're, maybe they're up there where the sea lions are. That would make sense.
Well, there'll be a lot of food for them up there if they get where the sea lions are.
Mm-hmm.
If the sea lions are foolish enough to go into the water with them.
You know, I don't know if giant squid will... I'm sure they'll attack a sea lion if it crosses them the wrong way, but I don't know if they eat them.
I thought a squid would eat anything it could hang on to.
I don't know, personally. I'm just saying, I'm not an expert in that, but I'll bet they both eat herring.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah.
Okay, over the weekend, there was a the waves were up, and there was a surfing competition, real surfing, not surfboard, skateboards, but real surfing out in the water. And there were some pretty good waves.
Yes.
And people were gathered on the beach. There was a seawall built there and to protect them from big waves that might come in. So the seawall is there. These people are behind the seawall. TV cameras are set up. And, in fact, early in the morning when I got up on Sunday, I watched about 10 minutes of that. They were just getting started. And there were a few people, a few surfers taking to the waves. But the actual competition had not started yet. During the day, actually during, I believe it was during the morning, all of a sudden, this rogue wave, they said about 40 feet high, came rushing in and over that seawall, like a tsunami would, but not as big.
Right.
And swept these people off their feet. There's several people that had broken bones, had to be taken to the hospital. And then there was another one after that. It wasn't by itself. There was a second one after that. So what do you think about that?
Well, that was at, for those who don't know, the competition was at a place called Half Moon Bay, which is 25 miles south of San Francisco. And this was on Saturday.
Yeah, I said Sunday, but I'm sorry, Saturday.
Yeah, it was being reported on Sunday. It hit at 8:50 a.m. on Saturday morning, the first one that made news. And what's interesting is just about a 100 miles or just under south of that at, well, I'm sorry, for the first one, on the same day, okay, on Saturday, the same day that the supposed rogue wave hit Half Moon Bay, 25 miles south of San Francisco, at 4:43 p.m., 31 miles north of Oakland, a 2.5 earthquake hit, and then at 7:43 p.m. on the same day, about 100 miles south of Half Moon Bay, a 2.6 earthquake hit at San Simeon, where the Hearst Castle is located. So what I think about that is that the, and our source agrees, that the rogue wave was a product of an undersea earthquake that was probably bigger than these 2.5 and 2.6ers, and these two earthquakes that hit later that same day were just mere aftershocks, you know, down the line, so to speak, or out through the tectonic plates. So I agree, the source agrees, that the rogue waves are earthquake activity, definitely a result of undersea earthquake activity, in our opinion, you know.
Okay, now I have a question about that. The USGS is not reporting an earthquake prior to these waves, right?
Not as far as I could tell on the map I was looking at.
Okay, now here's what I wonder, and folks, listen with your mind, not your emotions here. You know this Stargate that we've talked about, that people are saying there is a Stargate in the Gulf of Aden, and you and I have talked about it, and I've talked about it with some other people as well. There's something about an earthquake over there that didn't get reported either. We'll talk about it when we come back from this break. We'll be back right after this.
Stern would want to be if he were legit.
All right, we'll open the phone lines in a few minutes. But Walter, off, I think when you were on the show with me and we talked about this Gulf of Aden thing, I think we talked about that there, you know, I saw one report on the internet where someone said there had been a 6.2 earthquake after this January the 5th event where they say this Stargate began to open. Now, I don't know. Look, folks, I don't know if there's a Stargate in the Gulf of Aden. Not yet, I don't. But I know that people are talking about it, and we've talked about it here on the show and asked questions about, you know, what's up with this. But one of the reports that I read said there had been this earthquake, but yet it had not been reported by any of the seismic reporting agencies. Now, I found that to be hard. That's difficult for me to buy that, because virtually every country in the world has its own seismic reporting stations and its own agencies. So if one doesn't report it, there's no way that you can keep that secret. I mean, if there's an earthquake, if there's an earthquake in China, our earthquake reporting agencies here in the United States pick that up. Their sensors pick it up. And, you know, all over the world, you have these seismic reporting stations. And if there's an earthquake somewhere, their instruments pick it up. And it's hard for me to buy that nobody reported the earthquake that I saw reported in an article about the Gulf of Aden. Okay, you with me so far?
Yeah, I have a new opinion about the issue, but I'm following.
Well, that's what I want to ask. How could it be that you could have an earthquake in the Gulf of Aden and no seismic agency has reported it? Because they're different nations, and some of those nations have somewhat of a tense relationship with the West. Certainly they would have reported it, wouldn't they?
Right. Well, it's because it didn't happen. I don't believe it happened. I was asked in the last few days over the weekend to do a remote viewing. You know I do that.
Mm-hmm.
For an individual who's going to be on one of your upcoming shows, and I'm going to reserve what my viewing conclusion was so that he can discuss it in the context of his show.
Mm-hmm.
But it has led me to a new conclusion that supports what I said before about some type of military operation that they're trying to cover.
Okay. Fair enough. So you don't think the earthquake happened?
No, I don't think. I think because of what you said, the fact that it wasn't actually registered anywhere is not showing up on anything that registers. And you know what? Even if it was caused by some event, why not just go ahead and say, oh, yeah, there was an earthquake? Because there's so many of these things that happen every day. Why not? It would get lost in the mix. Why not mm-hmm. report it? I don't believe it happened. I think that's one more thing that's trying to support this myth of a Stargate, which I'm sorry, I don't want to step on toes, but I do not.
Well, you had already said that on the previous show. Okay, now I just use that as an example. If these rogue waves were a result of earthquake activity, why wouldn't it be reported that there was an earthquake?
You have a good point. But was it not reported? Because here's an interesting thing. Here's an interesting thing. I told you about the ones that were later that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be that the wave was the first indicator of that earthquake activity to come. In other words, the registering of the earthquake activity that caused the wave might actually not have shown up until the ones that were reported, the 2.5 north of Oakland, several hours later, and then a few hours after that one, the one in San Simeon. It might be that the plate shifted and the wave was actually the first indicator that an earthquake happened or was coming, and the actual quake itself, the way seismic instruments read, wasn't until 4:43 p.m. and then 7:43 p.m. So it could be that it was registered, but not in the, you know, we traditionally think, well, for the wave to happen, it had to have been the earthquake before. I said it just a few minutes ago that I thought it was an undersea earthquake. But, you know, I'm looking at the data and I'm thinking, well, the wave could have just been the first indicator that a quake was coming because the shift caused the water to go haywire a little bit there.
In this estimated or this calculated estimation, does he say that there is going to be massive destruction and loss of life?
The source is convinced of that, yes.
Okay. I am going to open up the telephone lines and allow our audience to join us. The telephone number, the main number here in the studio, folks, is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, it's toll-free in the United States and Canada. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you have two ways to get in touch with us. You can call me at 623-444-5889. That works from anywhere in the world, and people do from time to time call us from around the world. Or you may use my flash message option by going to my website, scroll down, and you'll see the link. But you have to be outside the USA or Canada. If you're inside the USA and you're inside of Canada, we have some telephone numbers for you. And there's no reason not to call, okay? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Walter.
Hello.
Hello, yes. You know, I've come across one of the Geological Survey websites, it was about a month ago, and they had just recently added a super volcano monitoring system to their website, and just recently. So they obviously know that something is about to go, is going to start rumbling pretty soon. And also the preparations that the high elite on this planet have also been making, they know something big is about to be going down over the next couple of years also, and they've been getting prepared.
How do you know? So
well, they've been building all these underground, they've got these underground cities, these seed banks they have everywhere for the political elite and the corporate elite, and also the infrastructure has also been placed to protect only the elite and the elitists only in the event of a catastrophe. And they've been fast-forwarding a lot of these the building of these things over the course of the last few years. So it seems logical to assume that something on this magnitude is going to be happening. It's going to be happening soon.
Do you think that, and this is addressed to Walter. Walter, do you think that this, you know, for years and years and years, we've heard about the big one that's going to hit sometime. All the scientists, the seismic scientists, geologists, they all say the big one is going to hit California
right. Sooner
or later. And they think it'll be more sooner than later because they say it's way overdue. Okay, so do you think that this is the big one that he's talking about, or is this not yet the big one?
Well, you know, I've thought about that. First of all, I'm a California native. I accept the idea of the big one. To me, I think it's just logical. I think it's just inevitable. It's going to happen. Eventually. This could be, because I would like to say that tonight we're talking about a Northern California city. I don't mean to imply that everybody down here in Southern California and all other parts of California are just going to kick back and watch this happen on the news. We are going to feel something if this thing is this big as the source says it is. We're going to feel it in other parts of California because the fault lines are connected. It could be the big one for all we know. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, come on and, you know, start making predictions myself. I'm just going to say that, you know, why not? It's possible.
Walter, I took a look at some maps today of California. Are you aware that very old maps, like from the 1300s, 1500s, 1600s, show California as an island?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's been part of the lore of California for centuries, in some cases the little-known lore. that is also part of some of the research I've done on my project that I haven't been open about,
mm-hmm.
that I've been writing a book on that will be coming out fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Okay, let's go back to the telephone line, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Walter, does your the guy who's predicting this, does he say there's any chance that this may affect Yellowstone? Because it's way overdue, too, according to scientists.
Well, he is very concerned about the Yellowstone situation. You have to understand that what it is, you know, activity around Yellowstone will affect Yellowstone as Yellowstone will affect all the activity around it. I mean, Yellowstone is the major supervolcano of this continent, and so they are connected. Yeah, but you can look at it as, I mean, I think there was an earthquake in the Chicago area, which they never have earthquakes, and, you know, that of course, has to be, deep down inside, yes, there's got to be some connection going on there.
Yeah, I live in Ohio, and I think it was back in the 80s, I think we had like a 5 here. It was about the only time I ever felt one, and the only reason why I knew it is because I heard the glass rattle in my, you know, windows, and I thought, what the heck was that? But then it was on the news, and it said it was a 5 to hit Ohio, so that's the only one I've ever noticed. You're keeping the secret, you know, and this guy's letting us out, you know, to prove himself. So once he proves himself accurate, you know, in the future, is he doing this to be credible, to warn people about stuff in the future, or what's the purpose?
I'll tell you what the purpose is, basically. And we debated this. The source kind of agonized over it, I can tell you personally. But my pitch to him was, you know what? If any number of people say, hey, I'm going to take that day off, just kind of take the wife and kids or whatever, you know, go over to Reno or go up into Oregon or, you know, go down into Southern California or Vegas or whatever, you know, for that couple of days, you know, kind of just a hedge. And I don't mean pack up the house and run screaming to the hills, just kind of pack a little bag and take off for an overnighter or just get out of your town for the day. And they live, you know, that's more important than any of the things, you know, the other motives, in my opinion. And you know what? I'm a philosophical guy. You know, as cheesy as it sounds, and I told this to the source, what if one of the people who lives is that person who causes cancer, or cures cancer, is that person who, you know, solves some major problem? You know, stranger things have happened. You guys who have heard me on the show, you know what my background is. Kevin knows. I've been in a profession where the idea is to shelter people, save people, protect people. That's part of my nature. So my initial reaction to this was, holy crap, we got to tell people, you know? So I kind of want to, you know, we've heard over the years, you know, people say, well, yeah, I knew that was going to happen about some disaster. And some other people ask, well, why the hell didn't you say something to somebody? In that spirit, that's why we're doing this is, well, then, okay, let's test it. Let's, you know, at least give some type of heads up. So if it does happen, you know, at least we tried. So that's what this is all about.
And let me add something to that. This source does not want to be known as a prophet, a predictor, etc.
Right.
So he's not trying to build a reputation for that. That's why he will not allow us to use his name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is something that is sort of a sideline, that not a sideline. It came up as a result of research he's doing. And as a result of that research and coming up with this calculated estimation, he felt he had to tell somebody. And so he tells Walter. Walter feels like, based on this person having been very accurate about something before, then it ought to be taken a little bit seriously. And, you know, people ought to at least know about it. But is he trying to establish credibility for himself? Absolutely not. He didn't even really want us to go on the air with this.
Yeah, I'm not the person making this estimation. The source who did it doesn't want to be known. And I'm just the damn fool willing to go public with it and have, you know, my name associated with it. And you know what? I'll sleep well at night. You know, if it doesn't happen, fine. Guess what? At least I can say with my integrity that when some information comes to me about something that may be coming, I at least try to get it out there to, you know, save people.
Well, and there's this too.
And I do want to say that it is my personal addition onto the estimation that 24 hours on either side. The source is convinced that it is a specific date, 1 week from today. Personally, I'm the one who says, you know what, if it's Monday or if it's next Wednesday, that's pretty damn close to accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Terry, let me add this. You know this deal with the guy that got on the airplane and he had his shorts full of explosives?
Yeah.
Okay. What has happened since then is all these agencies, different agencies, had different pieces of information, and they never shared them with anybody. Okay, they never passed on what they knew. As a result, the guy was able to get on an airplane. Now, thanks to people on the airplane, he was not able to set his shorts on fire. But Yeah, you know, it's because they pretty much knocked him out. But he was able to get on an airplane because people sat on information they had because they were saying, well, it's unconfirmed this and it's unconfirmed that, and they didn't pool their information and take a good hard look at it.
Even when they had the guy's own father telling them, hey, this, my kid's a nut and he's bound to do something like this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's the thing, you know, you don't want to create panic, you know, and in a big city like that, you know, that many people moving, but yet, you know, the name of the game is lives, you know. You know, how can you just sit back and say nothing, you know? But then, you know, how many people is going to die, you know, trying to get out, you know?
It's
darned if you do and darned if you don't.
There comes a time when the masses have to act like grown-ups, though, and deal with certain information and deal with the reality that this is a dangerous world. Things happen. People die. And it can be prevented, and you just have to deal with, you know, the knowledge of what you can maybe prevent rather than being given a lollipop and told not to look because it's scary. But, you know, that's a result of conditioning that's gone on for about the last 45 years that hopefully we can shove that aside where it belongs with the trash and get people to be enlightened again.
Hopefully. Terry, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. John in the United Kingdom has sent me a flash message, and it says, this contact you have that made the prediction. Well, we're not using that word. He's not actually predicting it. It's a calculated estimation.
Yeah, it's more than a prediction.
Oh, okay.
I believe, see, that's what I want to be clear on. This is more than just a prediction. In my mind, a prediction, you know, there's some other guys out there you can tune into any time between now and next Tuesday, and who one of their people will suddenly have a revelation, and, you know, they saw it in their tea, or they got a feeling from, you know, a little birdie out in the New Age land that'll say, you know, hey, this is going to happen, and that's a prediction. What our source has done is more of a calculated estimation.
Okay. Well, the question is, what are your source's views on 2012, if you know, if he has one?
I'm trying to remember if we've even discussed that. I don't think it's pertinent to this issue. So I'll ask him, and maybe I can give you the answer to that in a future date.
Okay. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. Walter, you kind of covered this already, but if this goes off, would it be big enough to set off a chain reaction along the Ring of Fire? And I'll hang up.
I guess I'll say it like with the, as far as the big one hitting California, it could, I guess, it could. I mean, in the past there have been, you know, pretty big earthquakes that, you know, didn't do that same thing. However, actually the answer is yes, of course it's going to some degree. You might see a whole bunch of little ones as a result of, you know, aftershock. You might see a couple of like ones. The one that hits might itself be part of a chain reaction of something else that hits before this. So, you know, logic dictates, I think, to answer your question, yes, it will, just by the very nature. But as far as a specific estimation of anything else,
he didn't go into that. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Hi, Stefan.
Hi. Mr. Bosley, I was wondering, what's the, with all these earthquakes happening around and everywhere, what's the purpose of all these, I know it's not your field, but supposedly there's a whole bunch of underground cities throughout the states. I mean, are they even safe from all these earthquakes?
I think they're probably as prone to the hazards we are. That's what I would guess. That would be my guess, is that they have their issues with this happening as well. I You know, it, maybe it's more devastating, you know, in that particular case. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to be like a very safe place to be underground anywhere. You know, I'm not an alarmist, but I mean, with all these quakes happening, I don't think I'd go underground.
Yeah, maybe. You know, it seems like if you were, these things happen mostly underground, so I don't know if I'd want to, you know, if there was an underground city, I don't know if I'd want to be there. You know, maybe it is better to ride these things out on the surface.
Well, have you guys seen the secret NASA photo of Earth? That has this gigantic label across the Earth?
Nope.
Pardon?
You haven't seen that? Yeah. It says the Surgeon General has determined that living on this planet may be harmful to your health.
Yeah, life, you know, we all going to die, people.
Life is a terminal situation. Hey, Stefan, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We have to step away for break. And when we come back, we'll continue with Walter Bosley, and we'll continue talking about this calculated estimation. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. With me this evening, Walter Bosley. And, Walter, we have a caller online, so let's go straight to the telephones. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Ah, I see. You didn't wait. Okay, the telephones are open, 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. The lines are, at this moment, open. I spoke too soon. There's one. Well, there we go. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kate from Los Angeles.
Okay. Tell me your first name again.
Kate.
Kate. Okay.
Yes.
Kate from Los Angeles. Welcome aboard. Yes. What's on your mind, Kate?
Thank you. Well, this is rather disturbing information. I mean, I'm glad you guys are coming out with it, and I do have two questions. One, could Walter explain a little bit what he means by calculated estimation? And the other question is, has this person, this source of yours, been in contact with Jim Berkland, who did predict the Loma Prieta quake?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned him. I'm glad you called, because during the break I was just looking up his name because I wanted to make sure that I pointed out his theory. I discussed with the source. I'll be honest with you. I just recently, in the last week, learned about Mr. Berkland, and it just blew me away. And when I talked with the source, he had heard of Mr. Berkland's work. And what's interesting is we've got a full moon, I believe, 2 days after the source's estimation. In other words, next Thursday night, I believe, is a full moon. And Mr. Berkland has just eerily been kind of dead on with his theory that shows that a full moon is related to these earthquakes. And he did predict the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake in which the sea lions first disappeared, that we've talked about on here. So I'm just recently aware of Mr. Berkland's theories, and like I said, it kind of gave me the willies when I looked on the calendar and realized, wow, there's a full moon this next week. What the source does is he uses, you heard me mention before, a gentleman whose stuff I publish and who's been a guest of Kevin's before, Mr. Sesheri, and he's written this book called Handprint of Atlas, in which he goes into great detail about the ley lines and how it works with the terrain and geomorphology.
Right.
The source uses that kind of information, plus he studies the behavioral patterns of the land and sea life, and how they behave in relation to earthquake activity. And excuse me. And in that, those two elements, he looks at just, you know, all these factors, and he was able to calculate this particular date and the location. It's more complicated than I'm expecting.
Yeah.
Pardon?
No, I just wanted to say, do you know if it's going to be on the San Andreas Fault? Or can you say?
Let me look at my map, because I can, let me hold on.
Kate, while he's looking at his map, let me ask you a question, Kate. Are you by any chance listening to us via iRadio LA or Indy 104?
No, I'm not. I'm listening over the internet.
Okay.
What I said earlier, that where this is going to happen, I believe it's logical that the San Andreas Fault is connected to where this is going to happen. So we're going to feel it. I mean, I'm out here in the Inland Empire. We're going to feel something down here. Is my personal belief, and the source agrees that's logical. But his whole thing, his estimation, has to do with the Northern California city, and that's what concerned him.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, Kate, let me put a bug in your ear. Yes. If you type into your internet browser, Indy, INDIE, 104.com, or iradiola.com, that will take you to our affiliate in Los Angeles. And you can listen on the internet through their site as well.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Kevin.
You bet.
For a great show.
Thank you. All right, 623-444-5889, or toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark from Los Angeles.
Well, hello, Mark. I just put a plug in for your station.
Yeah, I heard that, and I'm listening on Indy 104. So,
well, that's good. Since you own it, you're supposed to listen to it.
Since we talked.
Yeah, since you own it, you know you're supposed to listen to it.
Exactly. I have to listen to it all the time because you never know if I have to push that mute button. But anyway, Walter, nice to talk to you again. It's been January 31st, the last time that we talked.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
New Year's Eve. I was over at Kevin's studio. We were talking about the sea lions. Anyway, I have a question. Today, after I got off the phone with Kevin, as a matter of fact, I was outside, and I'm going to tell you the situation first, and then you tell me if they coincide together. Lately, aircraft have been doing these chemtrails, and somebody told me the other day that it's some sulfur thing that they're trying to do something with a magnetic field, you know, for the rotation of the Earth or whatever. But today we noticed a lot of them, or this evening, a lot of them. And for at least a half hour to 45 minutes during these chemtrails, we saw thousands and thousands of birds flying from the west or from the coastline inland. And one of the questions is, would this affect any kind of earthquake situation, and how soon do animals like birds, for instance, notice or feel the earthquake coming, for lack of a better word, and start moving in?
Well, the audio was kind of broken up, but I think I got your question. You asked how soon do you see the animals react prior to the earthquake activity, correct?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, my experience with that, as I've discussed before, is usually, you know, I notice, hey, where are the birds? How come it's quiet out here? And then, boom, you know, within a few moments. However, because of the behavior of the sea lions, because of the behavior of these squids, because of that herd of sheep that has been in this one place up in Petaluma, and they've also disappeared or moved from their normal place they've been in for years, I would say that I don't know. I'm going to make a guesstimate here. Maybe it's kind of like thunder and lightning. Maybe the sooner the animals start moving, and the greater distance between the earthquake activity and the animal behavior, the bigger the earthquake. I don't know. But there we saw the giant squid off of Southern California 2 days before, 24 to 48 hours before the earthquake hits in Baja, and they had to have been moving already to get to Orange County, so, you know, maybe 3 days before. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine, depending upon how big the activity is going to be. I wouldn't know how to give an exact answer to that.
Yeah, because we have never seen this many birds move at one time. I mean, there was literally thousands of them, and that's just in the area that we saw. And
did it kind of make you feel like you're in a Alfred Hitchcock movie?
In fact, we were mentioning that. You know, are we in the birds? But we don't know if they were moving because of these chemtrails that seem like most of them are over the ocean. If they were moving in from that, or if they were moving because of, you know, an upcoming earthquake or something.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I would imagine if they, you know, whatever them, you know, I've watched chemtrails, and not to go off on that tangent, but I've watched myself out in the Palm Springs area, the chemtrail phenomenon, and so I know it happens, it really exists, and, you know, if you're a bird flying around up there, you never know, maybe that stuff tastes nasty or something, you know, I'd want to get out of there too, but, you know, who knows, and if it's because they sense, you know, some major tectonic activity, you know, they might move in droves where they normally wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, this was just phenomenal. I was trying to take some pictures with my my phone, but, you know, obviously it didn't zoom in close enough. But whatever they're spraying out there, apparently both of us have it, because you're hacking, I'm hacking. So whatever they have, it's working.
Okay. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for the call, and I want to encourage everybody out there, tune in to iRadio LA. Or Indy 104. Either one. It'll take you to the right website.
Definitely will. And again, Walter and Kevin, thank you very much, and good show.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, good talking to you again.
He's a great guy, and what a great radio station. So we're just absolutely pleased that they carry the Kevin Smith Show. Okay, 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And if you need to call me on the toll-free line, it is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Doug from the Alien Agenda here in Canada.
Hi, Doug.
Need your toll-free line.
All right.
Hello, Mr. Bosley. Nice to have you here this evening. Kevin, thank you very once again for bringing such an informative guest to our arena here. What I would have to, I don't know if I have a question here, but I think more of a caution comment, a cautionary comment, as in the line that we don't get all hyped up in the direction of an impending doom and gloom. Come the 2012 era here. I think that we are going to face a certain amount of the public that's going to be pulling up their suspenders a little too tight.
Oh, I agree with that.
It could lead into some very poor decisions made by our government members if they're led by people who have the strength to influence you to pull up those suspenders, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Sure, it can be manipulated by politicians who have, in my opinion, greatly exaggerated and nefarious designs upon any disaster that comes along. It gives them the opportunity to rush in and appear to be a savior and take more control over us and take more of our freedoms away. And there are some politicians that would do that. Just as there are some folks in the public that will panic if you just say, "I saw a drop of rain." Doug, do you want to hang on through the break?
No, I'll go on to the next caller. Walter, nice to see you again. We'll talk to you next time you're on.
All right, folks. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. We are on Final Approach. The telephone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, we would love to hear from you. 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. We have a flash message, Walter, from Australia, from Bob. He says, "Hi, Kevin and Walter. I hope to God this isn't going to happen, guys. We wish you all the best from Australia, and our prayers are with you if indeed this does happen. All the best, Bob from Australia." Thanks, Bob. We do appreciate it.
And we agree. I really hope that you're laughing at me next time about this, that, you know, I'm on the show after this. You know.
I don't know what there would be to laugh about. You know, we're just saying that there is some information that has come from someone that, because of being accurate previously, doesn't mean it's going to be accurate this time. But this information should be shared, and people should have a heads up. And don't panic. Just make rational decisions. And if it doesn't happen, wonderful. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I just wanted to say that I think this was a good time to inform us about this, because if it was a lot closer, say next week Monday, it probably would have caused more of a panic.
I think that's true. And we sort of talked about the timing of it too, didn't we, Walter?
Yeah, it is. I agree with you. It was a good choice. I agree with the caller. It was a good choice for us to, you know, get it out there. You know, if it were up to just me entirely, I probably would have said something a month ago. But I had to respect the wishes of the source. And I think the caller's right. I think by getting it out now, people can, you know, hear it. Those who would react to it emotionally, you know, can absorb the shock and, you know, if whatever degree it shocks them, and they can, you know, have a few days to just calm down and think about it and, you know, do whatever. But it is probably better we didn't just do this next Monday. True.
Yeah. Kevin, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
All right. I got a flash message here from Stephen in South Africa, and he says, every time someone calls in, it looks like you're writing something down. Are you writing their name down, and why? Yes, I am, and I will explain why. I have right here the computer that's running the radio feed, and I have to monitor what's going on there. I have right over here to my left a computer that's doing the TV feed, and I have to monitor that. Then I have the mixer and the telephone systems, and I have to monitor that. I have to keep the conversation current in my head as I'm doing all of that so that I can carry on the conversation and ask pertinent questions. And it's easy for me to forget the name of the person I'm talking to. I also have at the top of the page the name of my guest. So it's simply because I'm an old guy. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Cindy in Sweet Home, Oregon.
Hello, Cindy.
I have the Old Farmer's Almanac. I mean, this is a thing that I like. And you know how everybody discusses 11-11?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the 28th is the full moon. That equals 11. The full moon is on the 11th hour at the 38th minute, and which equals 11.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Okay, then we go to the high tide times in Boston equals 11 on the 28th, and the moon is in Leo.
Well, that is interesting.
And I was going to say, I do numerology.
Uh-huh.
And it's the Old Farmer's Almanac. And I love this show tonight, by the way.
Thank you.
And this is just, it's kind of freaky, but I, you know, he mentioned the full moon earlier.
Yeah.
You know, about it being next week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, next Sunday is when it is.
Well, that is interesting. Yeah, now, let me ask you a question, Cindy.
Watching.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, and the length of day is actually 11:11.
The length of daylight that day?
Yes, 11:11.
Wow.
In the Old Farmer's Almanac, yes.
Interesting. Let me ask you a question. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, sir, I am, but I'm not a first-time contact. I used to send you links once in a while.
Well, I wish you would continue to send me links, because I harvest those links. I look at all of them. But since this is your first time to call us, you get some applause here. Thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
All right. Don't let this be your last call.
No, it won't. I'm kind of shy, so I'm kind of sitting here kind of embarrassed right
but, now. Well, I didn't bite, did I?
No, you don't.
Okay.
And I'm an oldie, too. My birthday's going to be Friday, and I'll be a whole 55. So.
Well, happy birthday. You're almost as old as me.
Oh, I know.
Okay, thank you so much for the call, and happy birthday. I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Yeah, it's just, folks, it's some shows I try to get by without writing people's names down, and that's when Tony calls and I call him Terry, or Terry calls and I refer to him as Tony. James calls and I refer to him as John. So I write these down in order to keep it straight in my old mind, okay? All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Yeah, Ryan, you'll have to make it real quick because we're almost out of show.
Okay. I just wanted to know, has there are there dolphins or whales off the coast of California? Is there any way to find out if they're doing anything unusual?
Good question. Thanks for the call.
There's plenty. In fact, whale watching is very popular off the coast of California, and I haven't come across any reports about the whales and dolphins, but I'm glad you mentioned it, because now I will specifically look for that. I do kind of a general sweep of it, and the source didn't mention the whales and dolphins specifically in our last conversation. But, you know, in fact, he'll be the first person I go to, and he'll probably have an answer for me. Oh, yes, and it's just a matter of I didn't happen to ask him about those. We were focusing on other aspects of this calculation. That is a good point.
Good point. Walter, I want to thank you for being with us this evening. As always, it's been interesting.
Well, thanks for having me on. I wanted to get, you know, the word out about this, and I appreciate you being the first to do it, because this is the first and only place that I'll be sharing this information, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Hang on the line with me for a moment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to reiterate, underscore, and highlight. Don't panic. Don't have an emotional reaction to this. This is just some information. It may be accurate information. It may not be. We don't know yet. But considering the source having done an accurate, calculated assessment or estimation previously, rather recently, we felt sort of obligated to at least share with you the fact that he's saying there's more, and here it is. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. Now you can call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.